Amen. Thank you, choir. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 this evening. We've been looking at living a holy life, even in times of difficulties. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'd like for us to read verse number 23, the 23rd verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, it reads, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Verses 24 and 25 go on to read, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." I'd like to stress this evening concerning the need to live a holy life, even in the midst of difficulties. And as we've been stressing in this series on the book of 1 Peter, Peter, under divine inspiration, writes to a persecuted people, a people that are scattered, a people that have been separated from loved ones, a people that have been harassed for their faith in Jesus Christ. And in this, the Apostle Peter encourages the people of God to continue to live a holy life. In spite of your circumstances, in spite of your difficulties, it is not the time to give up or to give in or to lower the standard. But we need to stay true to the Word of God and remove not the ancient landmark of holiness and godliness, because we live in a wicked world and we live in an evil day, and we as the people of God are called upon to live a holy life. And to be that light and to be that example. We noted in verse number 13, it begins by thinking biblically. And in verse number 14, we stress the thought of obedience to the Word of God is essential to a holy life. Then in verses 15 and 16, we noted the fact that holiness is a process. It's not instantaneous. You don't become holy all of a sudden by having an experience. No, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a process. And also we noted that if we would bear in mind in verse number 17, if we would bear in mind that Jesus Christ is coming again, and one day we will stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, and every word will be judged, every thought will be weighed, every action will be brought before us, and this ought to help us and motivate us to live holy in Christ Jesus. Then in verses 18 to 21, we stress the fact that if we would really stand back and just value our salvation, it will motivate us to live holy. When we understand that the Holy One died for our unholiness, it ought to do something within you. If it doesn't, there's something wrong, seriously wrong, with what you call your salvation. When you value your salvation, it will motivate us to live holy. And then in verse number 22, we stress the fact that a holy person has a love for the brethren. A mark of a man of God, a woman of God that's living holy, is that they will, under the power of the Holy Spirit, be able to love people as God loves people. For God so loves the world. Despite color, race, status, for God so loved the world. And when you and I are living a holy life, then we will have a supernatural love for all kinds of people. Even people that we've never met, we'll still love them and seek to help them and seek to be a blessing to them and seek to help them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this evening I'd like to stress the fact the Word of God Oh, the Word of God is essential for a holy life. The Word of God is essential for a holy life. And that's the emphasis here from verses 23 leading into chapter 2, verse number 2. The Word of God is essential for a holy life. If we are to live holy, then the Word of God needs to be preeminent. Note here in verse number 23, we are born again by the eternal Word of God. The verse begins by reading, being born again. Jesus said, ye must be born again. If one is to see or enter into the kingdom of God, there needs to be a second birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That birth brought you into this world. And part of that birth you inherited a sinful, vile, wicked nature that is worthy of hellfire. Therefore we need to be born from above. Born again. A person is born again with the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is essential for salvation. A person cannot be saved, a person cannot possess eternal life without the message of the Word of God. Being born again. Being born again, the Bible teaches us. Not of corruptible seed. The word corruptible here means to decay. To break down. The Word of God is not decayed. The Word of God is infallible. Inerrant. It is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. We are born again by the perfect Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That word incorruptible means invincible. Immortal. We are mortal beings. We are finite beings. The Word of God is infinite. The Word of God is immortal. It's invincible. Men have tried to destroy the Word of God down through church history. But lo and behold, we still have the Word of God. It's still the bestseller. It has still changed more lives than any other piece of literature ever known to mankind, because this is the incorruptible, eternal Word of God. And we are born again by the Word of God. So the Word of God is essential for a holy life. We are born again by the eternal Word of God. You cannot possibly live a holy life without being born again. My friend this evening, have you been born again? Ye must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. You need a new birth from above, and that comes by the message contained within the incorruptible, eternal Word of God. We are born again by the Word of God. Also, the Bible goes on to read here in verse number 23 that the Word of God is also eternal. We are born again by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When Philip the evangelist led that eunuch to Jesus Christ, he used the Word of God. He led him through the Word of God. He led him through Isaiah chapter 53 that spoke of a Messiah that will come. And Philip the evangelist said, this speaks of Jesus Christ. The eunuch said, who is this referring to? And Philip the evangelist had no hesitation and said, this speaks of Jesus Christ. This speaks of Jesus Christ. We are born again with the Word of God. Without the Word of God, a person cannot become a child of God. They cannot be born again. without the Word of God. The Word of God is incorruptible. The Word of God is eternal. Note there that the Bible teaches us at the end of the 23rd verse, which liveth. This word is in reference to the fact that the Word of God, being eternal, has the power to impart life. It's a living word. This word changes lives. People are born again by the Word of God. The Quran cannot impart new life. The Quran can give you a reform life, but the Word of God transforms you into a child of God. It is a living book. It is the eternal Word of God that is alive. It has life. This is a powerful word. It is the Word of God which is eternal. It liveth and abideth. It remains. The Word of God is indestructible. It stays. It's forever settled in heaven. Life is brief. Note then verse number 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. So this is talking about the brevity of life. Life is here one moment, gone the next, like a puff of smoke. See? James Packer might think he's a superhero, but he can be gone by the end of today. How futile man is. To think that he is invincible based upon status or based upon wealth, the Bible teaches us man is like grass, withereth away the brevity of life. It's by the grace of God you're here this evening. It's by the grace of God we will live out this day. It's by the grace of God we will arise tomorrow morning. It is by the grace of God we have life and breath. Our life is brief. It's like a puff of smoke. It just appears for a time and then it vanishes away. But the Word of God abideth forever. The Word of God is eternal. And Peter quotes straight out of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 and 8. Concerning the Word of God being eternal. And it goes on to read in verse number 25, but the Word of God endureth forever. My friend, the Word of God is essential for salvation. It begins by being born again. Born again by the message of the Word of God. And the Word of God has the potential to impart life because the Word of God is eternal. It liveth and abideth forever. And at the end of verse number 25, the Bible teaches us, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We are born again by the eternal Word of God. The Word of God is eternal. It liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God contains the gospel. The word gospel means good news. What is the good news? Well, we spend a whole lot of time focusing upon bad news. Do we not? But the good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. And that He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the good news. And could it be, if we will focus more on the good news, we'll be a happier people. Somebody say amen. Some of you are miserable tonight because you've spent too much time focusing upon negative news. See? And I understand that we need to know what's taking place around us, but there is a limit. There is a limit. Believe me. I think you would be far better off spending more time focusing upon the good news of Jesus Christ. contained within the Bible. The Word of God is eternal. We are born again by the Word of God. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And Peter said, this gospel which I preach unto you comes from the Word of God. From the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation is an outflow of the gospel. The good news, God's plan of redemption for mankind. The gospel is at the center of the Word of God. The Word of God contains the good news of the gospel. My friend, this evening I trust and pray that you've been born again by the Spirit of God through the message of the Word of God. Because beginning in the book of Genesis all the way through, God unfolds His plan of redemption for mankind. Climaxing with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter said, it's in this word we preach unto you the gospel. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And then we move on to chapter 2, please, verse number 1. It reads, wherefore? Whenever you see the word wherefore or therefore, see what it's there for. It's there for a reason. Always, always. It's a little nugget of help to unearth gold. Wherefore? In light of the fact that the Word of God is eternal, we're born again by the Word of God. The Word of God contains the gospel. Wherefore? Laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking. I'd like for us to also note this evening concerning the Word of God. The Word of God is essential for holy life. We're born again by the Word of God, number one. The Word of God is eternal, number two. The Word of God contains the gospel, number three. Number four here in chapter 2, verse number 1, concerning the Word of God reveals sin. The Word of God reveals sin that needs to be removed out of our lives. How can we possibly live a holy life when we entertain sin? How can you and I expect to be more like Christ when we entertain sin? If we want to genuinely live a holy life, it involves casting off and putting on works of holiness. The word laying and laying aside, these two words convey the idea casting off, putting aside. And Peter writes here that we need to put aside all malice. Now the word malice here is a general word in reference to depraved, sinful activities. Anything that is a part of the or an expression of the sinful nature, the depraved nature, he makes reference to it as malice. Guile is in reference to deceit, to mislead, to be dishonest. The word decoy means to mislead. So the Bible teaches us we need to cast off all malice, anything that is an expression of that sinful nature. We are to cast off anything that is dishonorable, that is dishonest. But he also writes here, hypocrisies, plural. That which is fake, that which is false, that which is not genuine, we are to lay aside. Then it goes on to write the envyings. Peter mentions the word envyings, plural once again, jealousies, that which we covet after, envyings, we are to lay aside, malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings. And then he also writes there in verse number 1 of chapter 2, in all evil speakings. Evil speakings, plural here, in the plural sense, is in reference to various forms of ungodly speech. Evil speakings, it's just a general term referring to any form of speech that's ungodly, like backbiting, gossiping. Say amen. Gossip is evil speaking. If you're not part of the problem or the solution, you are gossiping. Tale-bearing, saying things that are not true. Making up stories. Sarcasm is evil speaking. That's what the Bible calls jesting. To be sarcastic is to speak evil. And all of these sins are sins that will spoil your appetite for the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us, if we are to live a holy life, if the Word of God is to penetrate our lives, the eternal Word of God, the Word of God that is incorruptible, by which we are born again, the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, if this Word, the living eternal Word of God, is to penetrate my life and your life, there needs to be a laying aside of some of those sins of the flesh. Then verse 2 goes on to read, and I'll close with this. Note here in chapter 2, verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. So verse number 1 makes reference to laying aside those sins, that which the Holy Spirit points to in your life and in my life that is dishonorable to God. Lay it aside. And then here in verse number 2, the author writes, and makes reference to the fact that the Word of God is essential for our spiritual growth. The Word of God is essential for a life of holiness. And as we grow in holiness, we grow spiritually. And here in verse number 2, he draws an illustration. Peter used a newborn baby to illustrate the evidence and the essential element of our new spiritual life. The evidence is that if a person is truly born again, back in verse number 23 of chapter 1, being born again. Have you been born again? I'm not referring to a religious reform. I'm referring to the fact, have you had a spiritual birth? Have you been born again? I was born into this world a long, long time ago. But I was born again at the age of 14. Back in 1978, I was born into the family of God. A man of God opened up the Scriptures and showed me from the Scriptures that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior. And he showed to me from the Scriptures that Jesus Christ is the only remedy for sin. And I repented of my sin and I invited Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I was born again by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. It changed my life. And I haven't gotten over it. Haven't gotten over it. And my friend, if you are truly a born-again Christian, note here in verse number 2, there ought to be the evidence of a desire for God's Word. Note then verse 2, as newborn babes. The birth of a child is a miracle. It is a miracle. To think that we evolved from monkeys is absolute nonsense when you see the birth of a child. Absolute miracle. And to have that newborn babe have a thirst, a desire to be fed as a newborn. Where does that come from? Where does that licking of the lips of a newborn come from, where they want to be fed moments after they're born? I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from their new life. It's the evidence of life. And my friend, if you have spiritual life, there ought to be a desire for the Word of God. Note then verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Do you thirst for God's Word? This is the evidence of a new life. And Peter uses the illustration of a newborn baby desiring milk. So likewise, you and I that have been truly born again, we will desire the milk of God's Word. And my friend, may I just plainly and kindly say to you, if you have never had a desire for the Word of God, if you have no desire to read this book, then there's something wrong about your birth. You need to be born again. Because my Bible teaches me, as newborn babes, desire. There ought to be some want to. There ought to be some desire for the Word of God. If there's no desire, I submit to you, there's no birth. There's no new birth. That's what the Bible teaches. Do I speak the truth or not? Then verse 2 goes on to read, as this new spiritual child desires the Word of God and begins to feed off the Word of God, verse 2 goes on to read, that ye may grow thereby. Peter used a newborn baby to illustrate the evidence and the essential elements of our new spiritual life. A desire for God's Word gives evidence that we are a child of God. And as we desire the Word of God, as we're exposed to the Word of God, I know and I understand there are struggles and there are battles within the life of a young Christian. But deep down there is some desire, there is some want to. There ought to be. If there's no want to, there's a problem. And the Bible teaches us, as this newborn babe in Christ desires the Word of God and feeds off the milk of the Word of God, then they will grow thereby. The Word of God is essential for our spiritual growth. Spiritual growth comes via consuming the Word of God. The Word of God satisfies. The Word of God leads to growth. There is so much in this present world that do not aid growth spiritually. And my friend, this evening I'd like to encourage you, for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, don't ever lose sight of the fact that the Word of God is essential for our spiritual growth. And we need to meditate in God's Word daily. And each time these doors are open, you ought to be here because you ought to desire the Word of God. That's how you're going to grow. See, my friend, a mark of a holy person is a person that is growing in Christ Jesus. Holiness. The Word of God is essential for a holy life. And as we grow in holiness, we will grow in Christ's likeness. Once we are truly born again by the Spirit of God, and once we lay aside the sins spelled out in the Word of God, and as we consume the Bible, as we meditate and read the Word of God, we will grow thereby. The Word of God is essential for a holy life. How's your Bible reading going? Do you love the Word? This Word, the main theme of this Word is the Gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. And my friend, this evening, if we are to grow in holiness, we need to be in the Word. The Word of God is essential for a holy life. It's by the Word of God we are born again. The Word of God's eternal. The Word of God contains the Gospel. The Word of God reveals to us what we need to set aside. And the Word of God enables us to grow. The precious Word of God. I trust you value the Word of God this evening. I hope you value the Word of God enough that you'll read it daily. And as you do, that you'll obey it. And serve God faithfully with it. And remove not the ancient landmark of the Word of God. This is the basis of our faith. May God help us as a people to love the Word, the eternal Word of God, that liveth and abideth forever. Let's bow for prayer.